everyone, welcome back to Tanakh B'Shana for this week. So for everyone who's been following along weekly, way back when we were in person and online, Mazel Tov on reaching Ketuvim, we finally reached the third section of Tanakh. So what does it mean for us that we finished Nevi'im and we moved on to Ketuvim? What, first of all, I just want to look quickly at what makes this distinction, and there are different opinions. We're going to do this outside, just as a quick outside approach. Some say that everything in that's put into the category of Nevi'im was written b'nevuah, and everything that's put into Ketuvim was written only with Ruach HaKodesh. Now, that can be an ashir in and of itself. What is the distinction between Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration? We're not delving into that right now. However, the Abarbanel believes that what decides what went into Nevi'im and what went into Ketuvim is not the level of divine inspiration involved in its writing. Rather, it was just chronology. That books that were written earlier were put into Nevi'im, Nevi'im was sealed, and then it was moved on to Ketuvim and decided everything written after that would just be put into Ketuvim. So whether you look at these, we are transitioning into a new phase. If we look at the first two sources on the sheet, the Gemara in Yuma and the Gemara in Sanhedrin both say, Mishamitu Nevi'im Acharonim, Chagai Zechariah Malachi, Nisal Ka Ruach HaKodesh Mi'Yisrael. So both of the Gemaras and in various other places, it states that Chagai Zechariah and Malachi were the last of the Nevi'im. So just based on our brief statement before, this is not just based on where it is positioned in Tanakh. Rather, they use context clues that it seems that the Beis HaMikdash has already been rebuilt after in the book of Malachi, and various other clues that hint that Malachi is the last of the Nevi'im. So what follows is the Sefer that we are going to be focusing on today, and that is Sefer Tehillim. So most people are very familiar with Sefer Tehillim. I was recently reading an article on pastoral care during the COVID-19 crisis, and the different chaplains in the hospitals were talking about how Psalms works for everybody, that Psalms is kind of an international, interfaith language, that everybody's familiar with the famous Psalms. And what I want to look at today is what has made Tehillim so meaningful to so many people. That what is Sefer Tehillim all about? Why do we use it as a tefillah? And why is Sefer Tehillim specifically chosen to be the first in the section of Tanakh that we call Ketuvim? So what we are going to discuss first is we say that Nevuah just ended. So now B'nai Yisrael are left in an interesting state, that the primary means of communication with Hashem before the last Navi was through Nevuah, that Hashem directly told them what he wanted from them. And of course, this was a tremendous gift to B'nai Yisrael. Could you imagine knowing exactly what God wanted from us? That would be incredible. So when the last Navi leaves, this is considered to have been a punishment. And now B'nai Yisrael are kind of left in this place of not knowing how they are meant to connect to Hashem. So the Gemara and Shabbos, which at first seems unconnected, can relate to our idea of how B'nai Yisrael chose to move on from here. So the Gemara in Shabbos says, "V'yatatvu b'taltid ha'har, amar Rav Adimi bar Chama bar Chisa milamid." So we learn, "Shekafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu alayhem et ha'har kegigis," that it's talking about Matan Torah. And it says that B'nai Yisrael sat b'taltid ha'har, under the mountain. How does the Gemara explain this? The Gemara says that Shekafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu alayhem har kegigi, that Hashem took the mountain and placed it over the heads of B'nai Yisrael. And he said to them, "Im atem mekablim ha-Torah mutav," if you decide to accept the Torah, it'll be good for you. "The imlav," however, if you do not, "sham tehei kfuraschem," here will be your burial place. Meaning that Hashem was physically holding the mountain over their heads, saying, if you choose to accept my Torah willingly, great. And if not, you will die here. That essentially, B'nai Yisrael were forced by God to accept the Torah. How do we understand this? Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Mikan Moda'a Rabba La'oraita. So from here we learn that we didn't necessarily willingly accept the Torah, but there was quite the caveat. Like, if we didn't accept the Torah, here is where we were going to die. Amar Rava, but Rava says, no, this is not the case. We can't think that we were forced to accept the Torah. Why is that? Afal pichin, hador kablu habimei achashverosh dichtiv, kimu vekiblu hayehudim, kimu ma shekiblu kvar. So they say famously that by Purim, the generation at the time of Achashverosh re-accepted the Torah. But it says in Megillat Esther, kimu vekiblu hayehudim, that the Jews rose and accepted. What does this mean? Kimu ma shekiblu kvar. They re-accepted upon themselves what they had previously accepted. So what in the world does this Gemara have to do with the state that the Jews are in now? Rav Soloveitchik states beautifully, in short, prayer and prophecy are two synonymous designations of the covenantal God-man colloquy. Indeed, the prayer community was born the very instant the prophetic community expired. And when it did come into the spiritual world of the Jews of old, it did not supersede the prophetic community, rather perpetuated it. If God had stopped calling man, that encouraged man to call upon God. That when we were in a state of prophecy, everything was handed to us. Our relationship with God was spoon-fed to us. That God said to us, here is the Torah, you must accept it. However, then when they reached a generation of being able to initiate their relationship with God on their own, it was so much stronger, and they were able to continue that relationship on their own volition. So Rav Soloveitchik connects this idea that in the same way that we had originally accepted the Torah, but our connection with it was not as strong until we accepted it upon ourselves a second time, he says prayer and prophecy used to be one and the same. However, when prophecy disappeared and we no longer had the easy connection to Hashem, we no longer had Hashem spoon-feeding us our relationship with him, we were forced to take this relationship into our own hands. So this is kind of the state that we are in when we move from prophecy at the end of Sefer Malachi into prayer at the beginning of Sefer Tehillim. So now I want to look into Sefer Tehillim. We're going to start by looking at one specific mizmor, and then from there we're going to expand out and try to understand what is the significance of Sefer Tehillim. Why is it that my phone now around the clock has Tehillim groups going with people reading the mizmorim of Tehillim in the schos for the refuah shlema of all of the sick people in the world at this time? Why does it have that significance? Why do we call out to Hashem with the words of Tehillim? Why is it not that I sign up to constantly repeat Prakim in Sefer Bereishit? So first we're going to look at a famous Mizmor, which is Mizmor Chaf Gimel, the Psalm 23. I will read this Mizmor now. Mizmor LeDavid, Adonai Ro'i Lo Achsar, Binot Desha Yarbitzini, Almei Menuchot Yenhalini, Nafshi Yeshoviv Yanchini B'magli Tzedek L'man Shemo. Gam ki elach begeit al mavet lo irara ki ata imadi. Shiftecha umishantecha hima yenachamuni. Taruch lefanei shalcha neged tzorerai dishanta b'shemen roshi kosi revaya. Ach tov achased yerdifuni kol yumei chayai v'shafti b'veit adonai l'orach yamim. A psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack for nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to water in places of repose. He renews my life. He guides me in the right paths as benefits his name. Though I walk through the valley of deepest darkness, I fear no harm, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table for me in full view of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My drink is abundant. Only goodness and steadfast love shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for many long years. So this is a very famous psalm, I would say one of the most renowned. It is used at many times in our liturgy. Many people sing this during Shal Shittes on Shabbos, and it is often recited in times of need. So I want to kind of look at how do we understand this Mizmor? And this will kind of be a microcosm for understanding how we understand the entire Sefer of Tehillim. So what is this Mizmor talking about? This Mizmor is Mizmor LeDavid, written by David. We are going to see when we expand from this idea that while many think that David HaMelech wrote the entire Sefer of Tehillim, we are going to discuss the Gemara's approach to that. But we see this one says Mizmor LeDavid, that this one is written by David. that in the first four psukim, we have the analogy of the relationship between David and Hashem as the relationship between a sheep and a shepherd. So David is saying, Hashem, I see you as my shepherd. He speaks to Hashem in third person. That it's a relationship of the one caring and the one being cared for. That Hashem is caring for David. But there is still a distance between the two of them. By the end of the Mizmor, if we look at the language there, it has switched to second person. That there's a sense of intimacy that David and Hashem are closer than they were in the beginning. In the beginning, it's a kind of like a parent-child, shepherd-sheep relationship. And by the end, it is a closer relationship. In Pasuk Aleph, David says, Hashem ro'i lo achsar, Hashem is my shepherd. Now, why specifically this use of the language of shepherd? Because that was one David could understand. David was a shepherd. What is the role of a shepherd? A shepherd is one who cares for the flock as a whole. They have to have the big picture. They have to make sure that everyone, all of the sheep are together, all of the sheep have eaten, all of the sheep have been cared for. However, the specific role of a shepherd is that they must not only care for the group, but they must care for the individual at the same time. That if the shepherd has the attitude of just watching over the entire flock, but doesn't realize when one sheep runs off, he has failed in his role as a shepherd. So David is comparing his relationship to Hashem, that Hashem is his shepherd, that he feels not only that Hashem is guarding and protecting all of Bnei Yisrael, but he feels that Hashem is specifically guarding over him, that Hashem is ro'i, Hashem is my shepherd, not just the shepherd, the guardian of the entire world, of the Jewish people, Hashem ro'i, Hashem is my shepherd. And David is putting himself here as one of the sheep, one of those that needs to be cared for. Even though in his life he is used to being the shepherd, he recognizes that when he is a shepherd, he is caring for others. It is on such a small scale compared to how Hashem cares for us. So if we look now in the Radak on Sefer Tehillim, on this Mizmor, it says, Mizmor le David. Ha-Mizmor hazeh amru David al atzmo, k'sheyatza mitzara revacha. That David said this Mizmor when he had come out of great danger. Asna emar al Yisrael sheyamru kim b'tzitam mehagalot. So David says that Bnei Yisrael should also say this when they are in the deep darkness of galut. Lefichach samchu lemizmor shelamala mizeh. And it is connected to the Mizmor that comes before this. Ubidrash sochar tov b'ktat shinoi lashon mefarish oto al shnei panim. So it was saying you can understand that David was saying this about himself. That he was saying that he has survived a hard time and that how does he survive is through calling out to Hashem. But it is also said that he is telling Bnei Yisrael, because I used this Mizmor during my hard time and I was saved, you as well should use this Mizmor as a type of tefillah during your hard times. So we see that each Mizmor of Tehillim, we are already learning based on David's intention according to the Radak in this Mizmor, is that they reflected his personal suffering, his times of calling out to Hashem, his times of sinning and asking for forgiveness, his times of praise of God. And David is saying, I use them at these times. We can understand them on that plane. But David and Malach is saying, because I use them at that time, you should apply that to yourselves and use them as well in those similar situations. So next I want to look at the Malbim on this Mizmor and how he understands. And we are not going to go through the entire Malbim because it is quite lengthy. However, the Malbim says that this Mizmor is talking about a panorama of David's life and how he relates to Hashem during each of those phases of his life. So let's start in the beginning. It says Mizmor le David, Ha Mizmor hazeh charat et korotav me'it heyoto ro'et tzom b'midbar ad sha'ala l'mlucha. It says this Mizmor kind of gives us a panorama view of David's entire life from the time that he went from being a simple shepherd to the time that he became king. Tchila yashkif al reishit yimei chayav, et hitbodid im tzon hatzom b'midbar. So it says it starts out when David was spending his days alone as a shepherd with sheep in the wilderness. So he's comparing himself to Hashem. He says, I was a shepherd of the flock just there in the beginning. And he says, and Hashem is also our shepherd. ve'et Hashem kiro'eh ha-mashkiach alav be'in chamla. So he recounts how just like he felt that he had endless mercy on his sheep, he said at this time he related to Hashem as the rov chamla, the one who has so much care and so much mercy. Hashanim ha'ila him hayu itzlo mivchar yemei chayav. He said David relates to this time in his life as the best time in his life. Be'od hitbodeid imkono, that he got to spend time with Hashem, just being with Hashem, that he got to spend time tending to the flocks, acting as he felt Hashem was acting towards him, which was with great goodness and great care. Be'od yizamer lefanav al higayon bekinor na'im zmiro Yisrael. And this was the time when he was composing songs and he was known as the Na'im Zmiro Yisrael. Be'od lo natal alav keter hamlucha, and when he had not yet been bestowed with the kingship, lehafrido min hadvikodim Hashem, that he had nothing distracting him from his connection with Hashem. Shekin matzanu shegam acharei malcho kara alzet hamid b'shem ani vadal. At this time, he calls himself constantly the ani vadal, the one that is low, the one that is poor. Kizman hazeh hayazman hameushar itzlo, because at this time he felt the most true wealth. Ubasher hayaratzon Hashem lehutziyo mechayei hitbudidut lereot tzonamo. So, but he understands that the time came for Hashem to take him away from this personal caring for physical sheep, to take him to be the ro'eh of Am Yisrael, to lead the people. Saviv suvim shayel kach lebit Shaul liyot minagim bekinor, v'sham natan libo lihilachim al Goliath vayhi l'shem. Va'az ha'ala halav chamat Shaul v'yitin lo at bito. So it goes through now the entire story of David and how it can be reflected in the Mizmor. That it talks about in the beginning, Hashem ro'i lo achzar, v'no deshe yar bitzini al me'menucho yinahalini, that you led me when there was no... he leads me towards the water that he felt in the beginning of his life. Hashem was leading him down everywhere. He makes me lie down. He leads me where there is no water. He renews my life. He guides me in the right paths as he befits. That David did not necessarily understand throughout his life why he was being taken on all these paths. He loved the beginning of his life when he was able to spend time with his sheep, guiding his sheep, and really spend time with his Creator. But he understood that Hashem had a plan for him and that Hashem guided him through all of these tough times on the circuitous route through Shaul's house, being chased by Shaul, and eventually on to the kingship. And he said, the fact that Hashem was with me, Shiftecha u'mishantecha hima yenachamuni, it provided comfort to me knowing that although Hashem was guiding me with his stick, I knew Hashem was there with me. That I may have not always understood it, but Hashem was there. And that Hashem's comfort being with me guides me. So this is the Malbim, and the Malbim continues on to explain how the rest of this Mizmor explains Hashem's relationship with David and David's relationship in return with Hashem. So this is beautiful, and this is how we can understand this Mizmor. But this brings up the question of why then has Tehillim taken on such great significance? That we could also theoretically use the words of any of the Nevi'im that discuss their relationship with Hashem and that discuss Hashem's relationship with the Jewish people. There are beautiful Nevuah that we have discussed over the past number of weeks. Truly beautiful Nevuah that we could call out to Hashem with. Why is it that in a time of hardship, any time a Jew is struggling or people across the world are struggling, they use Psalms to relate to God? The first claim I would like to make is that many nevuot seem to be stuck in a certain time and place, whereas Tehillim is above time and place. That as we hinted to in the first Radak on this Mizmor, there is a personal and a national understanding of every Mizmor. So the Gemara in Bava Basra, which discusses who authored each of the Svarim of Tanakh, discusses the Sefer of Tehillim, and it says David katav Sefer Tehillim, that David wrote the book of Tehillim al yedei asara zakenim, through 10 zakenim al yedei, and who were these 10 zakenim who helped David HaMelech to write Sefer Tehillim al yedei Adam Harishon al yedei Malkit Tzedek va'al yedei Avraham. So the first three are Adam Harishon, Malkit Tzedek, and Avraham, va'al yedei Moshe, Va'al Yudei Hayaman. Va'al Yudei Yudotan. Va'al Yudei Asaf. Va'al Yudei Shlosha B'nei Korach. So it says, who helped David to write Sefer Tehillim? We have Adam Harishon, Malki Tzedek, Avraham, Hayaman, which is a different figure that we do not, all, not as famous as the others. Va'al Yudei Yudotan, again, not as famous as the others. The Al Yudei Asaf, and Shlosha B'nei Korach, and the three sons of Korach. David Katav Sefer Tehillim, Al Yudei Asara Zekinim, V'leachshov Nami Itan Ha'ezrachi, Amar Av Itan Ha'ezrachi, Zehu Avraham. So it's bringing up different suggestions of who else may have contributed to Sefer Tehillim. And it continues on to quote a number of psukim to give us other possible suggestions. So what can we learn from this? Why does it matter who helped David HaMelech to write the Sefer of Tehillim? First of all, it's interesting. It helps us to understand the mizmorim that say Mizmor LaAsaf or Mizmor Livnei Korach, as we say before we blow the shofar. And I think this means to teach us a valuable lesson about Sefer Tehillim, which is that it wasn't just composed by David, who lived in one physical time. And although one person, even if it was written b'nevuah, is able to prophesize about other times, or is able to think about other times, it's telling us that people from across our Jewish history contributed to this Sefer. That whether they were Adam Harishon, who was the first person on earth and had that unique perspective, or whether it was Avraham Avinu, who was the first Jew and the first person to have a connection with Hashem. Whether it's that perspective, or whether it is David HaMelech, that it's somebody who has taken from all of the Jewish history that happened until then, and we have this idea of David HaMelech Chai V'Kayam, that David lives on. So whether it's that perspective of someone who is more known as like the eternal leader of Israel, that having each of these perspectives contribute to Sefer Tehillim is one of the aspects that makes it so timeless. That because it is not bound by one author who was bound by one facet of time or space, we can also relate to it now from our perspective in Jewish history. And we can feel that our input can be, and our perspective is reflected in Sefer Tehillim. So that's the first point, that I think the fact that the timelessness of Sefer Tehillim, that it's not bound by one author who lived in one time and one place, gives us the ability to relate from our perspective and our time and place. Additionally, Rav Avi Baumel, who writes for the virtual Beit Midrash, made an interesting point. He said that there is, whenever we study a portion of Torah, we study it on the level of pshat and the level of drash, that we try to understand the textual, more simple, basic meaning of the pshat, and we also try to understand the drash, which is the deeper meaning. Something that can be learned from pshat could be something like historical context or technical details, whereas drash usually teaches us the deeper message that we are able to internalize for ourselves. So for example, while we might know a classic biblical story on the pshat level, we might understand the lesson from it on a drash level. And he said the same is true with Sefer Tehillim. And to quote from him, he says, first and foremost, we concern ourselves with understanding the psalmist's words, ideas, and motivation for writing the poem. That we are not only interested at what point in life David HaMelech may have written this mizmor, whether it was when he was running from Shaul, whether it was after his incident with Bathsheba, whenever it is that David is writing this mizmor, that's interesting to us, but he says the focus when we learn Sefer Tehillim is understanding the ideas and motivation for writing this poem. It was, what was David HaMelech or Moshe Rabbeinu or Avraham Avinu or Adam HaRishon feeling when they composed this poem? Yet even more important, and perhaps the goal set out by the psalmists themselves, is to convey man's feelings towards his creator, portraying them through the gamut of emotions. So he was saying what we must focus on in the study of Sefer Tehillim is the intentions that went into writing this psalm and the feelings and emotions that were meant to be conveyed through its writing. That it's not necessarily about what story was happening. And we see we don't learn Sefer Tehillim at all as a history book. You can look at, and it's interesting to see, is there a storyline in Sefer Tehillim? But for the most part, there is not a clearly apparent storyline, and that draws us to focus on the drash level. That draws us to focus on the emotions how the different writers and how especially David HaMelech related to Hashem at various points in his life, and how we are meant to encapsulate those emotions and use them when calling out to Hashem. Just a personal story before we go on to the last few sources that kind of conveys this point, that every Mizmor and Tehillim really encapsulates a specific emotion. One time when I was in high school, I went to high school in Brooklyn. I got on the subway. I forget where I was going. But I got on the subway and I saw a clearly religious woman crying hysterically on the subway. And usually you try to avoid people that are crying hysterically on the subway. Usually you try to avoid most people on the subway. And this woman was crying hysterically. And she looked up from her tears and she saw me standing in front of her and she goes, "Wow, God answered my prayers." And I believe I have a lot of self-confidence, but I don't often believe that I am literally God's gift to any specific person, especially to random people on the subway. So when this woman looked at me and said, "Thank God, God answered my prayers," I felt I needed to pay attention. And she said, "I was davening that someone should get on the train who would be able to say Tehillim with me. And look, you walked on a second later." So then I was a little bit trapped. I had to say Tehillim with this lady. And she was telling me how her terrible life story, how she was on the way to a doctor. She had a really important doctor's appointment and how her marriage was falling apart and her kids were a mess and she's sick. And it was one gigantic sob story. And she said, "You know what? I believe in just opening up Sefer Tehillim." And she said, "So let's say Tehillim." She said, "I believe in opening up Sefer Tehillim. And wherever it opens to, that's where we start saying, because Hashem leads you to the Tehillim that will help you to channel your prayers." And she opened up Sefer Tehillim. And I admit, I do not remember which Mizmor she opened to. But I remember as we began reciting Tehillim together, her crying and me trying to comfort this perfect stranger, I remember feeling that the words of Tehillim encapsulated perfectly the emotions that I was trying to convey to this woman, that I had no way of comforting this lady. I didn't know her. But I remember feeling that the words of Tehillim really encapsulated those words of comfort, and that through saying the Tehillim with her, I was able to comfort her. And it really felt like it took the words right out of my mouth and put them in a way that I would have never been able to. So this is really part of the beauty of Sefer Tehillim, that it is about the underlying emotions, that the beauty and the poetry and the way it was composed and the ability for those words to take the words and convey them to Hashem in a way that we are not always able to. So the Midrash in Tehillim states, Mizmor leDavid Hashem Ra'i la'Lachzar. So back to our Mizmor. Zehu Shamar Hakatov Dodi Li Ani Haro Eboshoshanim. Amra Knesset Yisrael Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Li la'Eloha va'ani eheyeh lo la'am. Hu li la'Eloha anochi Hashem Elokecha va'ani lo la'am. That it's saying that this is one example that the words of Tehillim, it's saying Hashem ro'i lo achzar. That what are we conveying through these words? It's not just David saying Hashem is my shepherd. And we can understand it at that level. And as we understood, there's beauty in understanding the pshat of Sefer Tehillim. But what the Midrash is adding is that there is a level of meaning underlying this initial level, that when we say Hashem ro'i lo achzar, we are conveying to Hashem the desire to be his people. But we are saying, Hashem, you are our God, and we are your people. And this is the basis for the tefillah on Yom Kippur that we say, Anu amecha v'ata elokinu, Anu tzonecha v'ata ro'inu. That we say over and over again that, Hashem, we are your people, and you are our leader in a number of different ways. And so the Midrash in Tehillim is emphasizing that in every word of Sefer Tehillim, there is the underlying emotion. And that's why we are trying to emphasize. And that's why we use those words to call out to Hashem and to give over these messages to Hashem that we may not be able to compose on our own. And just to conclude, I want to read a piece from Likutei Maharan from Rabbi Nachman and what he has to say about the saying of Tehillim. He starts off by talking about Tikkun Chatzot, which is when people get up in the middle of the night. Halavai, I should ever be on this level. I definitely do not function at my finest in the middle of the night, and rarely do I cry over the Beis HaMikdash in the middle of the night. But he discusses people who wake up to say Tikkun Chatzot, which is they wake up in the middle of the night and they cry and recite specific tefillot HaShem and specific parts of Tehillim to mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash and to daven for its return. So he says, Amar Sha'al Yudei Amirat Tikkun Chatzot Yecholin Lefarish Sichato Et Kol Asher Im Libo Kimo Sha'al Yudei Hitzbodedet. So he says, through the recitation of Tikkun Chatzot, a person is able to speak from his heart directly to Hashem, just as he is through his bodedus, which is the idea of sitting and meditating on your thoughts in relation to Hashem. Ki mistama eino rim chatzot al ha'avar, because it is likely that we do not recite tikkun chatzot about what happened in the past. V'ikar amirat chatzot hu al ma shene'asa achshav im ha'adam, but rather that the primary focus of someone who is waking up to say this, to do this beautiful ritual at night, they're going to speak from what is happening now. They can't truly wake up in the middle of the night to mourn something that happened 2,000 years ago, but they can wake up and mourn something that it is affecting their life until today. And when you say Tikkun Chatzot through this lens, and you can find a way to express everything that is in your heart through this ritual. V'chein amirat Tehillim, and then he says so too with the saying recitation of Tehillim. V'chayotzei tzarich lirot sheyimtza et atzmo b'toch kol mizmorei Tehillim u'b'toch kol hatchinot u'bakashot u'slichot v'chayotzei. So he says the goal of Sefer Tehillim is to find yourself within the words, that to find everything you want to call out to Hashem for, everything you want to ask Hashem for, everything you want to ask for forgiveness for, can be found within the words of Tehillim. And this is what someone who is saying Tehillim must do. Ubekaler onen is easy to see. Sheyimtza atzmo b'toch kol mizmorei Tehillim u'b'toch kol atchinot u'bakashot u'slichot v'kayotei. Ubekol b'pshitut b'li chachamot yecholin limtso at atzmo b'toch kol atchinot u'bakashot u'b'prat v'tehillim sheneemar b'shvil klal Yisrael b'shvil kol echad v'echad b'prat. That he said it is so easy when you open up Tehillim to see how they were not only written for the entire Klal Yisrael, but they were written for each individual within Am Yisrael to be able to find themselves within these mizmorim. V'kol adam kol melchamot hayitzer sheyish alav v'kol ma shenaseh imo hakol mivo'ar u'mifarash b'tehillim. That every struggle that a person goes through, every battle with their yitzer hara, every challenge they encounter can be found within Sefer Tehillim. Ki ikaro ne'emar al milchamot hayitzer hara v'chaliyotav, that he says David HaMelech truly focuses in Sefer Tehillim in a person's battle with his yitzer hara. Shehim ikar ha'evim v'hasunim shel adam, that this is truly the internal struggle of a person with their yitzer hara, and the struggle of a person to connect truly to Hashem are the greatest challenges that a person faces. Sherutzim limno midar chachayim lohorido l'shol tachtiyot chas v'shalom im lo yishmor atzmo mehem. That the Yetzer Hara poses the greatest risk to a Jew if he doesn't guard himself from them. V'rak al inyan milchama zot nityaser kol sefer tehillim. And it is on this challenge and this battle that the entire Sefer Tehillim focuses. Ki ikar klal v'shorash v'yisod sh'al kol ha'itzot li'kariv la'Hashem yibarach hu rak amirat Tehillim u'sha'arei t'chino u'bakasho behibodidot lefarish sichato beino levein kono. That it says it expresses how David HaMelech guides us to express our emotions in relating to Hashem through these challenges that we face, that through the challenge of facing our Yetzer Hara and the challenges that come up through life to deter us from connecting to Hashem, David HaMelech through Tehillim gives us the language and the words to get through these challenges and the emotions to call out to Hashem with. That we might not be able on our own to formulate a way to call out to Hashem and say, Hashem, please allow me to connect to you. And David HaMelech is giving us this language. And only through using these words are we able to overcome this challenge. Lifnei Hashem Yisparach Tamid Yehei Eich Sheyehiyah So he says, lucky is the person who is able to accomplish this, who is able to look at Sefer Tehillim and not only understand it as a mechanism for understanding the life of David HaMelech or understanding how someone else related to Hashem, but what Rabbi Nachman is telling us, that we must find ourselves within the words, that we must find a way to bring ourselves to connect to the words that we are provided through Sefer Tehillim to truly and deeply call out to Hashem. So relating back to the beginning, that when Rav Soloveitchik said that prophecy and prayer had been one and the same, and with the disappearance of prophecy, we needed a new way to connect to Hashem. Through looking at Tehillim and through the lens of Rabbi Nachman, this was exactly the answer that the Jewish people needed at that time. That the reason Sefer Tehillim follows as the beginning of Ksuvim, immediately following Sefer Malachi and the end of Nevi'im, is because this was the answer to the challenge that Bnei Israel were facing at that time. That if we are able to dig deep and find the language, whether it's through the words of Tehillim or through our own words, and find a way to truly connect to Hashem, we are no farther from Hashem than we were with prophecy. It's just a new way of connecting. So may we all find the ability to truly connect to Hashem, whether it be through the words of Tehillim or through our own tefillot, and use this as an opportunity to find the emotions to truly face all the challenges that come between us and connect to Hashem, and reach a true connection through Hashem based on emotion and these beautiful words of poetry built up from our past. And may we truly connect to Hashem. Have a great day.